Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, everyone.
Happy Men's Health Thursday. Raymond, can you be a little bit more enthusiastic about the whole process? If I say Happy Thursday and you're like, Happy Thursday, everyone.
You know, when I usually give you a Happy Thursday or Happy Friday, you always have a comment to say about it. So I'm just going to tone it down.
No, but you toned it down. But it actually worked in my favor. You actually gave me fucking more material to work with. Gotta love Raymond.
Hey, Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Happy Men's Health Thursday, guys.
You know, this is for women as well, just to let you know. It's not just for men, but we are kind of a men's show.
No. It's, well, why is it for women?
Because women usually are with men sometimes, right? They have relations with men sometimes?
Sometimes.
Well, I mean, sometimes, right?
There's Pooja in the background laughing.
I'm just like a fly on the wall.
Yeah, I know.
Women,
we do have Pooja here, guys, as a guest. And Raymond just like popped her in like that with that. That's pretty funny. Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. So
I guess women have relationships with guys sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Sometimes.
You possibly.
Know, that's how there's
babies, you know, and they can raise continues.
I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I just want to say this. We appreciate that this is a men's show, but at the same time, we have to give props to our women, too.
I give women props all the time. Okay. Yeah, that's why I mentioned my significant other all the time and how she is, like, great, and I'm just this, you know, this barbaric of a man. Like, ooh, me, Reggie, she's Kate. No, but we do have, like, we're 25% women that listen to this show. 25%.
That's amazing.
That's really good, actually. Yeah. Really good.
That any woman wants to listen to us. Wow.
I don't think anyone listens to us. I think they actually like the fact that we bring on people like Pooja, and that she has something more to, you know, to say. And
to
she's
say
more,
other than what we say.
And she's, yeah, and she's, she, you know, she has the authority over it, you know. Than what we have. And what are you saying, Pooja? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry. I was just saying, and I guess I could, you know, I kind of put in that female voice.
Yeah, you do. Bit. Yeah, your voice of reasoning. Because Raymond and I are just men that think we know things. I don't know what, we admit that we don't know shit. Like, we'll admit, like, yo, we're not, you know, pretty much schooled in that or, you know, we'll admit that we don't know too much about a topic or subject and just put our little hint of opinion on it and say, well, you know, discretion advised. Please seek
definitely discretion advised. Oh my gosh! Don't take my word right? on it.
Woo. So it's which is wonderful. We have you here because I mean it's your segment of the month. We always have you. You know, we come every month. We have you, and this is actually touching on something that we wanted to touch on, which was the conclusion to the men and the women cheat, and this is now how do we heal from going through. That would you call it trauma or what would you call it? Discretion, not discretion. I'm sorry. What would you call it? Indiscretion in a relationship.
It varies. I mean, I think that, you know, like I certainly have seen it. It's interpersonal trauma. You know, it is intimate interpersonal trauma. I mean, okay. This is the type of stuff that you carry into your next relationship, or you have gone into the relationship where it happened again, because perhaps this is what you were conditioned to sort of expect from relationships, or subconsciously this is what had happened before, and you're like, oh, and you know you found someone that was similar, or just happened to be the your first love that happened to do certain things to you, you know, that you just you're left with this feeling of trauma. I mean, trauma has a very, and I think that I just want to preface this because there is a lot of talk about adding diagnoses that don't just involve PTSD, which is about a single, you know, event, because interpersonal trauma, developmental trauma, occur, like you accumulate all this stuff over time, over years. And, you know, so it's not that simple. It's like, oh, this just happened once. It could happen over and over. You learn patterns, you repeat them yourself. I would call it like interpersonal trauma.
Honestly. When you say interpersonal trauma, What is that for the people like myself and Raymond that are not familiar with that term? What does that actually mean?
Yeah. So like, you know, just in terms of your interactions with other people. So like down the line, how is the quality of your relationships, right? Are you gravitating towards people? Because whenever we have trauma, it changes the way our brain sort of functions. And especially if it happens when you're younger, it will leave an imprint. So you are more likely then to You know, you're going to look at like somebody and go, okay, you know what, this is, you define yourself based on that trauma. So if somebody treated you poorly, for example, you're likely to think, okay, you know, that's normal. That's what relationships are like. I'm supposed to be made to feel this way, or I should be doing this because that is all you know, or that is what you're conditioned to sort of do. Right. Mm, so like,
okay,
you, yeah. So trauma, it's just sort of like interpersonal, like between two people, like right. In social settings, whether it be friendships or an intimate partner, I would certainly say that, you know, any kind of what we've been talking about in terms of like cheating and stuff, or it can definitely I think be taken on as trauma. I mean betrayal, but all of it, the things that you experience and you feel may not be different than someone who may have experienced a car accident, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It's just between people, as opposed to like an event that you didn't really know, but this accumulates really strongly because it's somebody that you really cared about. And this is very much to do with like your who you are. And you start to view yourself from the lens of the person that sort of caused the trauma to you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you kind of train yourself to accept things in a way you shouldn't be training yourself to be.
Absolutely. Like, you know, we see this with young people, like if there's histories of rape or any kind of, you know, unwanted physical abuse, even like your brain rewires to think that that's normal. People get okay with that chaos, not because they want it. It's just the way that their response has become over years. Right. And so like, you think that that's cool. Like, oh, okay, you know, this person cheated on me, it's normal. Or like my dad cheated on my mom all the time, so it's normal. I bring in the bacon, do this, I can do that. Vice versa, you know, I'm not saying it's one way only. It just becomes normalized.
So, okay. So let's say you're a couple and you've gone through this hurt and this trauma, this interpersonal trauma, like you put it, and now you guys both have addressed it, and let's say they want to move forth. Let's say because they have children, let's say because they have a lot of people, because they have time in this relationship, right? So they're looking at, we have so much investment in this, that they're you know what a lot of people stay in the relationships for. They have dividends that they want to see pay out and make it work. What should couples do to start the healing process?
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely hard. Of course, nobody wants to hear, you know, it depends. Now, if you have a relationship where the other person comes and says, listen, like, I've been seeing somebody else, or I've been, you know, just dating around, even though we're in a committed marriage or monogamous relationship, for example, that's different than when somebody stumbles upon information that they didn't know.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, do you believe that sharing all the details is healthy? Like if the question Reggie just asked you as far as the healing process, is it healthy, or does it help, or does it hinder? Does it hurt to share, to reveal everything, everything you've done?
The gruesome details. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I personally don't think that, like, and I have not encouraged it unless I just don't see how it's cathartic in any way to, you know, to talk about like the levels of intimacy in a relationship. I mean, it needs to, for health reasons, right? Like if you're trying to be like, have you had sex with this person? Unprotected, protected, because now I need to know, because this is my health we're talking about. Gotcha. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that absolutely I would think, but in terms of like the details, I don't know. I mean, I can only imagine. I know some people like to hear it because they like to fully be like, okay, what? And again, to me, that is a sign that person has been through that trauma. They need to hear that.
Exactly. It more so correlates what you were saying with the interpersonal trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want, it's like almost punishing themselves for it, to hear these deeds have been taking place, right?
Well, they always say this. I need to know everything. Who, when, where, where was I at? Was I at work? Yeah. Was it in the house? Was it in the bed?
Exactly.
Did you think about me? Did you take the ring off first?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's a very good point. That's a good point. Wow. Yeah.
You want to know all that stuff. So you think that is not helpful?
I don't, I mean, I think for some people, when you see that, is because they're probably blaming themselves. Like, was I working too much? Was I not there? Was I not doing what I should do in the house, right? For, so, if, you know.
So is, it almost is, and two, it's like, I guess what you're saying too, them comparing themselves to the person that the spouse is with to see if, you know, was it because they were more experimental, well, experimental in the bed, or more risque and seeing what took place and how it took place, what, you know, where they did things to see, like, was you it said, in the home? Was it what, I'm was, sorry?
Was it in our home or the kids' home where, you know, where you...
Yeah, but also, like, if the person was more so, like, doing experimental things, like, you know, exhibition stuff, like, you know what I mean? Just to see, like, oh, I'm an old prude because you're with this younger person that is more adventurous. I'm trying to... I'm trying to word things right that does not sound like some sexist weirdo. Yeah.
Right. So, like, certain things. Like, did this person fulfill certain fantasies
that I was there you feeling go. Yeah.
indulged or, yeah. And sometimes, you know, people ask because that is the way that they can also shame the other person. Like, well, tell me everything. Because if you really be honest, tell me. Right. And it creates, like, this sense of, a sense of guilt and shame instills that in the other person, right? Like, well, tell me. And, like, it's hard to tell the person that you love that maybe you have kids with, like, well, I did X, Y, and Z. Yeah. Frank, like, how much more than, yes, we had sex, we had oral sex, we had this. Like, what more do you really need? Do you want to know? Yeah. I personally in my sessions, I have not heard of anyone actually go into those details.
Yeah.
Nor do they want to. And I've had people who I've seen individually have said, like, I did this, but I'm worried to even tell my significant other because they will leave me and I don't want them to know, but it's a pattern. There's usually a trigger and it usually is very, very much how somebody might react if there's constant fighting, neglect, a feeling of abandonment. Not that there's actual abandonment, but that other person feels it and there's a history of trauma. So we have to be very careful and look at it like, well, not that I'm saying that that should ever excuse what happened and the fact that you went outside of a monogamous relationship, if that is what you have, you know, decided on. Now, there are couples that decide on, listen, like, I want to be with you as my main person, but I also want to experiment. So, couple.
So that's like an open relationship type of deal you're saying, that they present that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. But I've also have heard that those things can often go wrong because maybe the other person is doing it for the happiness of their partner. And then they realize, like, I didn't like watching you with somebody else, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
And that creates issues. And then there's trust issues from there on. So it's very much about, like, figuring out what is it that you were trying to, what was it that happened, right? Like, what was going on? Is it something that you just did? Some people, you know, if they're passive aggressive in relationships, like, maybe you don't want to, like, tell your partner how much you're upset about something. And so, or you assume they're doing it. So then therefore you're like, well, I'm not going to have him be the one to cheat on me. So I'm going to do it first. Vice versa, depending, you know, or a lot of people spend a lot of time at work and, you know, the terms, I don't know if you guys have heard, like, work wife, work husband.
Oh yeah. Isn't that like in the '50s, that type of,
no, what is that?
Like, they had a relationship out, you know, work wife.
Work, like, most people spend more time at work, right? So, like, if you work in an atmosphere where a lot of men, then you like to see your boss, who might be a man or a woman, more than your spouse. And so the nickname is like, oh, that's my work husband. And it got, like, it was like a funny ha-ha, like, but then that could also be an emotional affair, you know? It's not always physical.
You're right about that. You can't have emotional affairs. I mean, that someone may say things to you at work or just someone you see on a regular basis, and it seems like they make you feel like you're important. Or like I said in a previous podcast, I said, like, a pick me up. They say things to you where you're just
validated.
Exactly. Yeah. So with that said, Pooja, I mean, we all kind of feel like, you know, going to seek counseling and, like, for people like you to help out during a crisis or, you know, when you want to heal. But how important is it to have counseling before you get with someone, as in the process of before you're really getting serious or in the process of being serious? How important is it to pre counseling versus the post counseling?
Like before there's actually something like an infidelity or something like that occurs. Like when should you seek it prior to when you start to have those inklings or issues in the relationship?
No. Even before you have an inkling of an issue, should you seek counseling with someone, with a partner, someone you're falling in love with? Should you have counseling beforehand just to see if you guys are a match or, you know, before you have issues? Is that?
I don't know, bro.
That's kind of.
Usually, what do you think? I mean, let me hear your thoughts. Like, well, what do you guys?
Because listen, when in the Christian world,
I was gonna say they
always talk about, you know, like
premarital counseling.
They always talk about it all the time, and that doesn't guarantee, though.
That's different.
Why is that different?
I'll tell you why. Go ahead.
Okay.
Said your point, and I'll tell you my point.
Okay. So I'm not saying that works because and it doesn't make a difference if you're a Christian or not a Christian. People still get divorced. Mm-hmm. People still cheat.
Yeah.
Doesn't guarantee anything, but at the same time, it's like. Why is that? Is that a bad thing or is it a good thing?
I think it's depends on the situation. The reason the Christians have that is because when they date, it's date for marriage. When regular society is dating, the modern world, they're just dating to try out different things to see where it goes. It's almost like when you start dating someone, they're not. It's almost like I'm gonna date, but we'll see where it goes. I'm feeling you out, so there's no reason to there.
I'm not referring to a person you meet on is it Fish in the Sea or
Tinder and all that other stuff.
I'm not saying you meet somebody on one of those apps.
But that's how people are meeting these days. So they're not meeting at the grocery store anymore.
Let's say you've been dating for 6 years. I'm sorry, 3 years, two years, or whatever.
Okay.
Do you feel like there's a need for that?
Well, if you're dating, then you should definitely see counsel. If there's issues already arising, I think sure. But if you're like, if you're not even dating yet, and you're like, well, if you have personal insecurities and stuff, then either seek a counselor. I think if you have, if you think you're insecure, you might feel like you have cleanliness to be clingy, and you know that you want to, from being in past relationships, take care of that. Absolutely.
I'm just looking at it from like, I mean, this might sound really crude.
No, go ahead.
I'm thinking of it like, you know, when you go get a car.
Okay.
And this, let's just say a used car. I'm not saying a person is used, but you go before you get that car, you want to check and make sure the car is okay. And you want to have this car for a long period of time.
I think that comes with. I know. Okay, so here's what
that's a bad example.
It's not a bad example because it's a good example because what I would say you want to do an assessment. So here's what I think you should do. What people should do if you're talking about dating and you're old enough, as far as you're in the modern dating age now. You know how you can be blunt and upfront, and women are more so independent. Is just have an honest conversation and say, hey. Put your things out on the table in the beginning. Let them put their things and say, hey, I'm not, you know, I want this in this relationship, but I want to be with a person like this. And hey, you have to have, I want you to have a good credit score and I want you to make this much. I think if people are honest about certain things, just being completely blunt, like you said, just running assessment and hey, do you have this? Do you have bad credit? Because then you know if it's going to work out or not, because a lot of those things. But
if that's the case, then why do people have to do it when they have problems?
No. Because I'm saying with this day and age, people should just be straight up front because
they're not. That's why they text and they can't do it up front. That's why they have.
I think we more so masked it before. I think this day and age, people are more up front now because people are like, yo, this is my work. Because everybody puts their work now, what their income and their credit score and their cars and materialistic things, like this is my worth, my clothes, I'm wearing the brand new thing, this is my, like you said, validation, I'm someone, the term now is being used, high value man, high value woman.
What are your thoughts, Pooja? I'm sorry, sometimes Reg and I go back and forth like this sometimes, so.
Well, no, but Raymond, go ahead.
It's important because, you know, it's good to know, you guys basically mentioned both sides of this coin, and that's the important thing is that, like, if you're dating, the dating process should allow you to be comfortable enough with somebody before you even think about marriage to ask questions like, what do you want kids? What do you foresee in your future? Like, right? Like, what income, like, what type of a lifestyle do you want? Maybe you don't ask about the income, but like you say, What kind of a lifestyle do you want? Do you want to be, for example, if you're, you know, if you're a man marrying or dating a woman, you're going to ask like, well, what do you foresee? Do you want to continue to have your career? Where do you see yourself in your career? Perhaps, if you're a woman and you want a man who's like going to be highly ambitious and has a lot of, you know, has, money saved up or is going to be able to give you a certain lifestyle because you envision that you want to stay at home, which is an important job as well, and raise kids. And like, that's what you want to do for a few years and take a break from your career. Well, then that's important for your significant other to know, vice versa, because some men think and assume, okay, well, I'm making enough, so my wife's just going to stay home. Or the wife assumes, well, I'm going to continue working because I make more and he's going to be home. So that causes issues. And it, you know, or one person says, I want kids. Another may just say like, yeah, I'm not opposed to it. And then, or they may never really talk about it. And then they get married and it's like, oh, I want kids, but X, Y, and Z, like she doesn't or he doesn't anymore. But when we're dating, but also things change, right? Like people change. Nothing is what it is in that moment.
Yeah, nothing's concrete because you're still growing and knowing yourself and knowing and trying to figure out who you want to be. I agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's prenups and now there are postnups. Like you can get married, all of a sudden make a lot of money, you can get a postnup. Like, hey, look, if in the event something now happens, like I should be away with this. So nothing, you know, there's nothing that is not negotiable. I think I've heard a lot of lawyers say, and a lot of couples that I've worked with, even contracts don't mean anything at the end of the day. You can always contest whatever you want because things change, right? Like you're allowed to change your mind. That is a boundary that
you're allowed to have. But I think, speaking of what you're saying, I think what Raymond is trying to touch on, I think people should just be up front. So I think when people just, when we're dating now, people are dating and they're not coming in with a, I want to say a business plan. You got to have a plan if you have, if you want a relationship, a serious relationship, you should have some type of plan. Like, okay, what are your plans for 5 years from now? Where do you see us? Where do you see us going? Do you want kids in 5 years? Do you want kids in 10 years? Because I want to take my career here, so on and so forth. I want to travel before I plan to have kids, because I think not mentioning any of those things can create impersonal trauma,
okay.
Interpersonal issues, because now you kept the stuff because you were a yes man or a yes woman because you wanted that person and you did everything to get the person, that you basically conformed to whatever their beliefs and whatever it was to have the person, and now you're like, shit, well, that wasn't really me. I feel completely stronger on the opposing side that I do want kids now, or I do want to travel, or, you know, or I just want to stay in my home state with my parents.
And sometimes having that counselor in there will give you the strength to tell the truth sometimes.
No, I'm just saying
that mediator, that person who doesn't have a dog in the fight can kind of help.
Well, yeah.
So let me ask you this though. Yeah. And that's okay. And I understand exactly what you're saying, because sometimes it's easier to say it in front of somebody because it, you know, you have that like neutral person there. But what about things that come up later in life? Do you feel that if you need somebody there to be like a neutral person for you to be able to be honest and upfront out of whatever the reasons may be, do you feel that down the line, like if something comes up, are you going to be able to be honest with your significant other without somebody there to, you know, kind of mediate or facilitate that conversation?
That's a very good point as well. That's an amazing point. And I don't have an answer for you.
I mean, that's where the communication comes in, right?
Like, right. Exactly.
It's so cliche that communication is so important, but like how you communicate is super important. You know, some people withdraw and that's the way they communicate. Like, I'm not happy, but I'm going to go along and just because, and then they get this like, you know, pent up resentment.
Yeah.
But isn't that so common though?
It can be.
Yeah, it's probably coming. It all depends on the generation as well. If you're a generation that the parents stuck together to be for the kids, and the mom didn't, was the home care, home caretaker. What are you?
Full time mom.
Yeah, the homemaker. Right. And so basically, the dad got to travel for business and whatever. So they kept all their stuff pent up in resentment, and he had the work wife and the opportunities. So it's Yeah, I think that's more so the generational thing. Because now it's like women are more equal, more, they're the ones that more so are making money now and traveling more so. And they're finding these men that are less, I would say less accomplished.
Could be. I don't know. I mean, look at Pooja. I'm not saying I don't know about her husband, but look at Pooja. She's definitely not a mommy homemaker, but she might do dual duty. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing it all, but. Just because, we'll give you that. We'll give you that kudos real quick. Yeah, we just.
Well, thank you. I'll take it. Yes.
She's like, I'll take it. No narcissism there. Yes.
Where's that?
I gotta find it because Raymond's.
I'll
like,
be honest. We all struggle, but I struggle, but I appreciate that.
Thank you struggle. You. Yeah, we all struggle.
We all do. I mean, look, you know, it's a big thing when you have kids. You're married, like trying to struggle. You know, figure out time for yourselves. Like have that time to be a couple versus parents, and then. You know, those are different roles you're playing. And then the commitment to just like.
We see you though. Pooja, we see you. We see you.
You
there
know?
We go. There we go. That's for you, Pooja.
Pooja!
PTP, y'all. PTP.
There's nobody that is like perfect. And if they say they are even a professional, then they're fucking full of shit. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They are.
That's going to be speaking on the second part of this segment that we're going to touch on about professionals pretending to be perfect. But to get back on topic, because I think Ray, I'm the podcast whisperer. Okay. Seek counseling guy and go see a counselor, a Pooja, talk to Ray because he has some skeletons. He's got some things he wants to talk about. Now back to the topic. So speaking on what we were talking about these relationships, should the parents involve kids, depending on their age, about the infidelity and going from there instead of hiding the obvious tension that's in the room can cut?
Do you mean involve or just share?
No, involve the kids as far as like, hey, dad did something or mom did something and we're working through it. So, hey, this is why we're healing, blah, blah, blah. So they mention it so the kids can tell why daddy did something wrong. That's why mommy's mad. And I understand. Mm-hmm. Or should it just be kept confidential between the parents as adults?
Or mommy did something wrong and daddy's mad.
No, I said it both. Equal lib here.
Well, I mean, I guess you have to look at what's the motivation there, right? Like if your goal is, listen, like what happened between us, like we don't need to tell our children like the exact details because there is something that you need to preserve in terms of your own relationship, right? The kids don't need to know because look, what's going to happen regardless of age, especially if they're older, they might start to be like, oh my God, you did this and this is why like I don't have my dad in my life, right? Or... once a younger kid gets older, what was that?
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, we all
heard
that.
No, I heard like some weird whisper. What
was no, that was Reggie doing whatever Reggie is doing. Over
it's just a video played. I'm sorry, guys. That was Satan.
The podcast.
Nah, that was that was my order from Lil Nas. His shoes are coming through. They said, "Oh, your order's being shipped."
Oh my gosh,
that was the devil.
That's what you're doing right now, talking about this and looking at whether your shoes are coming.
No, through. I was. Send
them. He's trying to find a counselor
for Ray. I'm trying to find someone for Ray. I gotta find someone that okay, there we go. I got someone for Ray.
We got somebody. We got Pooja.
I'm sorry, Pooja, go ahead. You can go ahead and go back to that guy.
I don't think it's healthy to tell your kids because I mean look, if they're older they're gonna figure it out, but like there's really no reason because what's the motivation here, right? Like if it's between you guys, does it matter that you separate it? Because cheating isn't usually like it just happens overnight for most people, right? Like it's something, at least in my experience and in things that I've read and the research that I've read and in my own personal experiences in my office with patients or virtually, it doesn't just sort of happen. There's like a buildup and usually there's an emotional separation from your partner at one point where you have enough resentment building up for whatever reason, right? Like perhaps you felt betrayed in an emotional way or in a way that you felt you weren't supported when you needed it. And so from then on, everything started to feel sort of resentful and it built up. And maybe here's somebody else, a man or a woman, it giving you more attention, praising you, validating everything you do. And now it's good, it's fresh, it's new, right? So perhaps like you're getting some needs met that were And again, this is not to excuse the behavior, not to blame the spouse, because this is where communication comes in. You got to tell your spouse, I need more of this from you. I need you to not, you know, talk down to me in front of my kids or our kids, or I need more support when I'm feeling this way, or I just want a hug when I'm feeling upset. That's it.
So that kind of segues into one of the other questions I wanted to bring up as far as, so if the partner tries to move on and heal, are they allowed to bring up the past, or should the past be dead and move on with the forgiveness? If you say you're forgiven, should you guys move on and it be like, hey, don't bring it up anymore? Or is that interdimensional? What'd she say? Interpersonal trauma that we're now creating because they can't mention it.
Inter and there's intra. This we're talking about
interpersonal trauma that we're creating now that they cannot mention it, or is it healthy to mention it, or is it not healthy to mention it? Because, you know,
yeah. What do you think? So I would encourage this. It's always a process, right? Like healing from infidelity and trust issues is always a process. I mean, no. And the couples that do try to work on it and try to get through it, I think it's amazing. And I know that like it takes a lot of work, and I've seen it. And there are relationships that I've seen end on my couch, so to speak, or I've seen relationships that have really, they've owned some of the stuff and realized like where both of the partners needed to do some of the work and tried to work at it. But at the end of the day, you know, I've seen, that infidelity is a tough one. I mean, you know, I think there's no real like map. You can't say you can't bring it up ever, or because it needs to be in context. So, and what reason is this coming up? And if it continues to come up, perhaps you're not ready to be in this relationship. Maybe you need to move on. Because if you're unhappy and it's unhealthy, you can't be like, well, you did this, and now the other person has to live in that shame and guilt for their entire, you know, life. It's just going to breed more resentment, and now maybe they're going to find a different way to do something that, you know, may just be repeating the pattern, but you're not going to find out, or it's just going to keep you guys apart. So I think in terms of when kids are involved, right, like telling them why you are separating is really between you guys. I mean, you can just say like, we're just not who we were when we met each other 10 years ago, right? People change all the time. Things have happened. We've changed. What we want in life has changed, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And usually that's, you know, one of the reasons a lot of, I think in our first two segments when we talked about why men cheat and why women cheat, I think for women it was like a really heavily related in terms of that research that I used was like emotional validation, or not feeling like they were appreciated, not feeling like they could talk to their like husband or significant other about what they're feeling. And for men, it was a lot of sort of, you know, again, passive aggressive, not feeling great, being bored, breaking up that monotony, or perhaps like feeling like, well, I kind of want these things, and not being, I guess, confident that their partner would understand what they want sexually, perhaps. And there's somebody else that's, you know, available, and there's that flirting, and it leads to something else.
It's funny how you did that. So subconsciously you slap. It leads to, a lot of clapping. Raymond, what do you want to say, Raymond?
So, I'm very expressive. If I'm in my office, you see my hands flail. Yeah. All the time.
So as you were talking right there.
Guys, if you haven't checked out the Bro Rants merch, you need to. Tell them, Ray.
Yes, you're talking about some nice apparel we got hoodies, we have sweatshirts,
beanies,
hats,
snapbacks.
We got women's apparel.
We got the dad caps.
We got it all.
We got it absolutely all. Everything for the youth, for the girls, for the men. Guys, check it out. It's pretty affordable, and it just shows us how much you support us.
You have to get some gear.
So check it out. It's on www.bonfire.com.
And Bro Rants merch.
Check it out.
This podcast today, it kind of reflects more on my life, because right now I'm going through a split with my girlfriend where we split up, my girl. And so with that said, this question I have for you right now kind of hits home to me. So, let's say, you know, if no healing happens and the couples decide to like go their separate ways. What is the best and the healthiest way to walk away with, you know, children involved?
So if there are no children involved.
Well,
no,
let's do both. If there are children and no children.
Well, is that if you want to keep a relationship out, after, or you just want to prevent inter-person trauma?
Well, can we make this personal?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Make it personal, dude. So, I like it. It's perfect.
So I have kids.
Yeah.
And and my kids, I don't have any kids with Kara, you know, but our kids are connected.
Okay.
So our kids have relationships. And so because Kara and I are not together anymore, our kids are still like brothers and sisters. I mean, they're still tight and we still hang out. So what is the best way for, you know, for us to walk away with, you know, with kids involved as far as, to be healthy?
To keep that relationship going, even your relationship with the kids, you're saying as well. Not exactly. Just your kids with their brothers and sisters extension. You're talking about you having a healthy relationship.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
fair.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
I did. That's a very thoughtful question. And I think, you know, I'm glad that you're thinking about that because you're right. You want to support your children. Like, even though your romantic relationship ended, that doesn't mean that you can't have healthy feelings of love. You know, you may not be in love for whatever reasons, of course, but it doesn't mean that you stop caring about this person that you spent all this time with and whose kids you developed significant relationships with and who vice versa developed a relationship with you. And now you guys were a family. For how long were you guys together?
9 years.
Wow, dude.
Nine.
Yeah. Wow. And it's kind of, and listening to you talk, right, as you were saying, people grow, you're different because the person you are when you're 20 isn't the person you are when you're 30. And the person you are when you're 30 isn't the same person you are when you're 40.
For some people. There's some people that are the same fucking till 80.
Yeah.
That but don't change. Yeah.
But sometimes your interest, your likes, your dislikes, and also your personality and also your patience, your desires, you know, and so your habits can change a little bit.
Yeah.
So with that said, I mean, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was, you know, as you're talking, I'm processing and I'm learning at the same time. But I'm also, this is also for other people who listen to this show. So I may not be alone. So.
No, you're alone. You're alone.
You're
right.
Not.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You're the only freak.
I got to do it. Yeah, I know. I got to do that to you, Ray. Sorry.
I know. He gets me every time.
Look, no, I'm not getting you, brother. Look, I'm not getting you. You're not alone, Ray.
No, you're the only freak on this planet. I'm joking. It's not a funny matter, I know.
I'm kidding.
We're lightening up.
You have to have, you know, laughter and comedy to.
You have to. I think that's how we do. I think that's how our community processes trauma is through comedy. You have to laugh through it.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we do. You know, what else can go wrong? They mentioned the COVID. They were like, oh, the COVID and the, you know, people couldn't go outside. We were like, we just had 400 years of slavery, so this is cool.
Right. Like, I mean, right.
Okay. There's like, no sweat off our back in about a little while. Why the right is over here storming the damn Capitol. Like, let us out. We were like, what? This is cool. Like, okay. Anyway. We can handle it. But go ahead.
Is that your rant for the day?
I don't think it's my rant. I don't think it was a rant.
A point.
It was a point. It was just a point. Like, I think this is how we deal with trauma. I think we deal with it with comedy. I don't know.
Yes. But we have to be careful. Like, you know, there's like that time where like, when we are being comedic about it though, are we really just sort of avoiding the topic in person? Like, I mean, not on
camera. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's true that you're saying, because we mask it. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it sounds like this is resonating in some ways. And I think that's what this, you know, the dialogue is cathartic for you in some ways, just like it may be for so many other people who are listening. And I think, you know, a lot of times 9 years is not a short amount of time.
I mean,
it's a decade, right? It's a decade.
Yeah, let's just round it up. Let's just round it up for the people. Yeah.
Like, her kids are going to see you as her dad, no matter, you know, even if their biological father is in a picture or not, whatever that situation is, vice versa. Like, your kids are going to have an attachment and you guys are going to have some relationship, you want to encourage that because you don't want to disrupt a healthy relationship that they had with somebody that, yeah, you know, served as a mom figure or brother or sister figures, you know, and that's okay. And I think the best thing to do is if you guys need to heal, like you just need to be courteous. Don't talk, you know, ill about each other in front of your kids because mm-hmm. they are going to have a different perspective on what happened. And they may not know everything. Just like, obviously we're not all going to know everything. You know your truth and your relationship knows the truth, right? Mm-hmm. So you guys have to know what's best. And I'm sure it wasn't easy after 9 years to make this decision, but if you made it, there was some significant reason and it was probably for the best for both of you emotionally, and you know, what have you. And it's okay that that happened. And I think that it's okay to walk away from it knowing that, like, sometimes we change, sometimes what we want, or understanding where we need to grow. Perhaps it's a sign that this is where I need to grow. But allowing yourself to feel that and knowing that, like, it's okay to feel sad about it and to be okay. Like, you don't need to bottle that up. You need to let that out. You need to talk about it. But feel it more so, right? Feel it. Do something that you do. Like, I tell people all the time that are stuck in certain things that are very difficult, whether it was childhood, like, abuse that they grew up in their homes, you know, witnessing a lot of, hearing a lot of, now as adults that's still affecting them. I'll say, you know what, like, emotion needs motions. You have to move through that. So you can desensitize yourself to what it was that you're thinking about, but move yourself, do something through it so that it becomes a part of you. You're not avoiding it. If you're folding clothes, let yourself feel what you're feeling while you're folding your clothes. Get that emotion to flow and get it out. But, like, not to say that, you know, it's going to be okay tomorrow. It's going to be sad, especially if the other one's seeing somebody else or if that was one of the reasons or whatnot. I don't know. But right. If that's the case, it's going to be difficult. But I think it's a huge step, and it's not easy after 9 years to be able to say, like, hey, we're not going to stay together. I think that in itself is a big mature thing.
That's so true, because I can tell you from me personally, if anyone knows me, which, I mean, people know me, but I'm just saying, if anyone knows how I am, usually if I have an issue, like a personal one with, like a breakup or a problem, I don't discuss it. Like, you wouldn't know. I could have, you know, everything going wrong in my life, just everything. And you would not know unless I wanted you to know. Like, I would keep going like a Mack truck and not tell you, but for me to even bring it up and talk about it, I know that personally for myself, that's progress for me, because I'm usually a very private person.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, like, I was going to commend you, like, hey, man, thank you for sharing that with us and the audience and being vulnerable and bringing that up, you know, because it's a big step for you, big time. For the person that is very closed off, in a sense, that you keep your personal life hidden from the world, to a degree, but you've been really open and vulnerable on the show, and I think that's speaking volumes as far as your growth as a person. I think you're ready to open up and deal with things you've not dealt with because you've compartmentalized them and put them away in the sunken place. Sorry, I just got a cup of coffee over. No, I'm kidding.
What's in that coffee? I know.
Something. No. But so you're saying the best course of action is to just basically talk it out as far as the parenting to keep that going.
Absolutely.
But do you want to express to the person, because do you want to express to the partner, like, hey, is it okay if that's okay with you? Do you want to have that discussion with them first and say, I want to continue being a role model or parental guidance in their life, or to some extent, you know, you want to have that conversation with the partner first, right?
Of course. I mean, you want to talk to them, but if your kids are older, it's hard to sort of decide for them, right? If they're like in their teens, it's a little bit harder to say you can't.
Yeah, but you know how sometimes the kids can be petty, and, you know, parents can be petty and be like, no, I don't want you to talk to the kids. So, you know, because depending on whatever, they could have, now it could turn into some jealousy thing, like, oh, that my kids love you more than me and they want to spend time with you, so that can also turn into that,
right? Or it's a way to control, like, have some power over a situation. Maybe, you know, if they were the parent that got wronged, or if they were, you know, if or vice versa. It's just a way to hold on to somebody sometimes. And, or they use their kids in many situations, and people pull their kids over the other person because that's their connection to that person, mm-hmm. especially if they didn't want to separate, but the other partner did, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And, you know, I think over time you have to, in order to grow through that, you have to not, I'm not saying you have to mask your pain. You should be honest with your kids. Like, hey, I'm not ready yet to see, you know, him or her again yet, because we're still kind of going through our process of separating. But if you want to see your brothers and sisters that, you know, for a decade is a long time, then feel free. You know, I'm not going to stop you. Of course, as long as both you and the other partner are on the same page, and just in general, not just your situation, but I think that, you know, putting kids in the middle, now you're putting issues onto them that are not theirs to deal with. This is generational trauma now, right? Like, you're putting your stuff onto them, just like perhaps we have had stuff from our parents and their parents handed them that we got, and then it continues on. So until you break that cycle, so you sit down and communicate. You go, okay, you know what? Like, I'm sad that this is happening. I'm not, you know, happy about it, yet I'm not ready to meet face to face, especially if perhaps the other person's moved on sooner than you have, or that, you know, or just in any case, it's okay to say that and to say, like, I'm happy to take you over, especially if the other partner's open to having, if you have younger kids, right? If they're open to like saying, yeah, they can sleep over, then that's okay. I will drop you off and I'll pick you up, but I won't come in. I can't come inside.
Yeah.
Or you guys are just nice to each other in front of them because you want to set that example that you can be together, have issues, but they don't need to involve the kids. Like, you don't need to let them know what happened. I think when people tell their kids, like, well, your mom cheated and that's why I broke up with her, or, you know, use certain terms, oh, your father had a, you know, an affair and that's this why, it just breeds hate, dislike. And honestly, the child is not going to dislike the other parent. They're just going to dislike the situation and resent both parents because this is not what they signed up for. And I've seen it, and the impact that it has on these kids that get older, it's, you know, they have very broken relationships and issues with attachment and safety and security in relationships. And it's just, it continues.
So bottom line is, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Don't tell your kids. I mean, unless what are you going to get out of it? Like, why are you doing it to be spiteful? Then you're going
to
achieve that.
It sounds more like to be spiteful.
Yeah. It sounds,
And to try to be, look like you're the saint or the saintess.
Yeah.
You want to look like you're the good person.
Yeah. And it's almost like you're spoiling your, it's almost like you're tainting your kid on purpose.
Or you want to be the martyr.
Yeah. Be the martyr. And you also like you,
Right. And it's okay to tell them, like, look, like our marriage or relationship didn't work out. It's okay to say, it's okay to model for them too, that not everything works out, but it doesn't have to end badly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that has to basically, like what Raymond was touching on, I don't think, before the relationship, I think it's set the span while you're in the relationship to end whatever issues that you've, or but trauma that you've seen before getting into a relationship from growing up, how to handle things as the right way, the healthy way, with being open with communication and not having these generational curses, I would say, that we carry on. And my mom did it, so I'm going to do it that way and spite your dad, because that's how I learned and that's the way we've always done it. So a lot of it has to come with learning a healthy way to walk away in situations and deal with breakups or deal with healing. So all that it has to do with...
Just deal with emotions.
Yeah, like deal with emotions. Yeah, very true. Yeah, so
regulate. Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to go punch the wall each time? Or are you going to be able to take a breath and say, okay, you know what? I just need to, like, let myself feel this. And, right? Some people turn to alcohol, weed, whatever it is, drugs, right? Like, you want to numb it, or do you want to feel it and then really process and get it out of your through your system the right way? But it takes work. It's not easy. It's easier said than done, of course. And especially if you haven't seen role models in your life go through emotions in a positive way.
Exactly.
And, you know, and there's so much other stuff. We look at systemic things that come into who you are as a person, you know, larger things above just family. I mean, your whole community stuff too, but you know, but I think, I think instead of maybe like couples counseling before that, before you have problems, I think maybe, I think, Reggie, what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, is go for more of the individual counseling if you feel like you need to heal that before yes. you can get a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and that's tagging on to what Raymond was saying. So now I could say, yeah, like if you know that you have some interpersonal trauma and that you want to address it, and it's not only just because of your relationships, you could be just watching relationships in an unhealthy environment that's dysfunctional, and you're like knowing that, hey, I don't know what is communication. I don't know how to express emotions because the only thing I've seen is yelling, and also that's the form of communication I've seen between two parents. I don't see love. This is love to me is if I'm angry, I let you know I'm angry, and if I'm loving, then it's over. It's eccentric, you know. It's too much because it's overdose of love because it's a way of compensating for whatever hurt you caused. Or buying gifts because it's to make up for whatever hurt. So they don't really have an understanding. So yeah, that's what I think you should seek, the personal interperson. Why I got an issue with that damn word?
I love to watch him over here trying to figure out, is it intra?
Well, I'm a change of the self person trauma. Okay.
You know, just relational trauma.
Yeah, yeah, amongst yourself. There you go, perfect. Yourself, person, trauma. So the other thing I want to touch on, because you mentioned it too, was this whole thing, what we have this obsession with, you know, gurus, relationship gurus. We have so they had the story with the Derek Jackson that is this mm-hmm. guru that is, you know, he's for women, and he's made his fame and his success shitting on men and speaking mm-hmm. to women and giving them whatever they wanted to hear, and come to find out that this, you know, this scandal has come to light that he's confessed that he's been, you know, had infidelity on his, you know, cheated on his wife several times, and he's come out and he's, you know, done a video with it, which a lot of people also said he was doing that to save his brand, which I guess he had to. It was almost like he was the president, like Bill Clinton back in the day. Like he had to come out because either
he had to make a statement.
Yeah, because either the people that he was did the dirt with were going to come out on him, and so he came out first. That's what it seemed like to me. But what are your thoughts on people like that, as far as that are in that highlight that we think that they are, you know, walking on water, and they give us these advice, and then they don't even follow their advice. How do we deal with these people we idolize? You know, plain and simple, idolize, and we think they have the answer, and they don't even have the answer. Are we hopeless? I mean, do we lose hope because shit? You know, it's like saying your doctor that tells you to follow a strict diet is obese and he doesn't follow himself. So it's like, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, right? Anyone who says that they're perfect or pretends that they're perfect is full of shit. I'm sorry. Like, there's no such thing. We're all a work in progress. And mm-hmm. if you can't admit that, like, we're all human, right? I mean, and I don't know him. I don't follow him. I don't even, how many, was it like, I just actually was reading up on him the other day, and I found that video, and I don't know who he is. So, I mean, I can't make like statements because I obviously haven't assessed him or I don't know anything about him, but like, it sounds like he had like, and I may be way off, a million followers.
Is I think he had like 1.3 million Instagram followers.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay.
I wasn't one either. I didn't know about he's him got, until Reggie told me about
him. Yeah, he's got the blue check. So he's somebody. Yeah. Got that blue check.
certainly has, you know, he found a way. I think a lot of, you know, the saying that we've heard before, like, do as I say, not as I do.
Yes.
Is obviously coming from, mm-hmm. right? Like people often like will say, oh yeah, you know, like people have to find a living, they have to find their purpose and a cause. And I think he may have found his niche. I don't know. I think we have to remember that influencers are human beings, just like politicians are human. Everyone's a human being and no one's above doing something that's immoral, right? Like, I mean, look at all the scandals in the church and in places of sanctity that you're supposed to feel safe.
Yeah. Raymond actually wanted to touch on that too. Yeah, you were saying it reminds you of what pastors that come
pastors
up.
Or even like the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Like she was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful.
It absolutely is. Or like that, you know, their families that there's incest or sexual abuse going on, and you would think they're the perfect family, or domestic violence going on, and but you would think they're the perfect family. You just don't know.
That's right, you just don't know.
Yeah, and I think that for people that follow certain videos or influencers or people, I think that they're looking for answers, and they're looking to find hope and, oh, okay, maybe if this person can have it figured out, then so can I. And I feel like, you know, they're sharing their experience. I think that anyone, and I don't know Derek
Jackson,
but like, I think if, you know, if I were him, I might embrace the other side. Like, hey, look, like, I'm saying this because I've been that guy, you know? Gotcha. Or like, would that ring more authentic? I think people just, but the thing is, when you're building your followers, like, you're building, a lot of people say things that they think the other people want to hear. Yeah. They're not doing it because that's their truth. It's just the truth that other people want to hear.
Or because it pays.
Because it pays, right? Like, if you have that many followers, you're going to get, I would assume, people, brands asking you to promote them, or
and you write books. Yeah, you write books. And exactly. People are like, oh my God, he's got it. And his wife is so lucky. And you wanted to touch on the wife. You wanted to mention something about her.
Yeah, no, I was just curious if we wanted to, because I know there were a lot of comments and in the video people made that, you know, poor woman, she looked like she was, I may not be phrasing this correctly, but I remember reading one of the comments was just like, you know, she didn't really look comfortable, or it just seemed like she was sort of not happy being there.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that, but I wonder if there's like financial commitments now that they, you know, it's either you do this or you don't have this income. What do you do?
I believe so. I mean, a lot of times when you have that, the wheel is turning like that, and you know that by one statement or one comment, it can all go away, and you can say something like, you know, hey, if you say this, all this that we have will be gone.
Yeah.
Just don't say anything, and I'll make it work some kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, you know? the way you stated that too, because it kind of reminds me of the Bill Clinton scandal, the Kobe Bryant scandal, the way you have to have the misses there. Like, that's the only way you save the brand. That's the only way you save the career, is by having the spouse there, because that shows, like, oh, we're standing together, she forgives, and that's the way to save the brand.
Or Ray Rice, they tried to save the brand. I don't know if you know about that one.
I know what.
Oh, the one where he knocked his wife out on the elevator?
Oh.
And then, I saw that video.
Oh, you mean the new one? You're talking about the new video that where you're talking about?
The one? No, it's an old one.
But it's a new video, but they're trying to get, I don't know these names. Somebody in the elevator.
He was dragging. I saw a video.
The one I'm talking about. Oh, okay. You're talking about that one.
That one where he was dragged her out. And then after the situation,
yeah,
his wife was making, you know, she stood up and she was like, I support my husband. He made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's okay. Because they knew that he made the money.
Yeah.
And he was a millionaire. And without him being in the NFL, things would change. And it ended up changing anyway, because the NFL didn't bring him back, because he wasn't a great player. He was a good player, but he wasn't like an elite player, and he was older.
Oh, okay.
So it was better for the NFL to let him go. But if he had been a star,
like Tom Brady, maybe,
like, yeah. if it had been Tom Brady, he would have been out for 1 year and been back.
Mm.
But anyway,
maybe
Tom Brady would have been out for a year. No,
oh yeah,
no way
for that. Yeah.
Tom Brady.
If it's on video.
No. Tom Brady would have been just fine. They would have been like, oh, we forgive you, Tom. There's no way they're putting that money away.
I don't think so. With it being on
Tom
camera.
Brady misses a year of football. Let's be honest. It's over.
Wait. He missed like 6 games 1 year.
Okay, but I'm saying if he misses an entire year of football.
And that's for something they didn't even see.
No, but I'm talking about if he misses a year of football because of his age right now, it's over. Oh, well, he's not coming back from that. He's going to be 10 times slower. It's just over. Okay. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, shit, we got, you know, they'll be like, hey, can we just hold a fine until he retires after this year? yeah, we'll hold it.
but I think Giselle's probably doing just fine on her own.
Oh, yeah.
She definitely is. Yeah, she's super duper rich.
I don't think the that might be a
good, absolutely.
That's my two cents, and yeah. Obviously, I don't know though. I'm just
yeah. She's a little mogul herself. And speaking of mogul herself and making moves, you actually are coming out with a book, or you did come out with a book.
Yeah, so I am in the process. I was approached to write a book on children with autism, like an activity book for young kids and their parents to do together. So it is in the works. I'm not yet allowed to sort of release all the details. They're going to send me sort of a final proof copy, and then I can start promoting it on April 18th, and it will be released on May 18th. So
very, very cool. And what's this? What's the book about? Tell.
She can't reveal any details. Details. Yet. Oh. We have to wait.
But yeah. So definitely something for the younger kids to do, like activity books, and it explains on there. It has to do with, you know, children on the spectrum and what they, 50 activities that they can do, and some will require, of course, the parents to help facilitate. But just ways to increase their social communication skills, you know, their interpersonal skills, just their ability to sort of connect and be a part of, make some socially significant gains in their life, and not that they, in a meaningful way to them, right? Like not in a way that society should say you should be doing this or that, but in a way that it works for them. So it should be a good that makes families and kids feel good about themselves and not really focus on their different abilities, but just kind of celebrate a chance to give them something to do that they feel good about doing and engaged in. While they're learning some skills. So
that's awesome. What made you want to do this book?
So I actually am a board certified behavior analyst in addition to a licensed psychotherapist. So this falls under one of my specialties, my niches in autism and neurodevelopmental disabilities. Okay. So I actually got approached by this publishing company to write it. So it was sort of an interesting process. Yeah. And they've been also really wonderful. They kind of supplied most of a lot of the work on it. I supplied the content, and they, you know, helped me kind of through it. But they approached me to write this, and so
that is awesome. They approached you,
yeah.
And this is this your first book? Is this your first official book?
It absolutely is. So it's been a great experience, and I find that I think I want to write more and just kind of provide some tools for others to access, you know, and hopefully I should have my website up and running, where I'm planning to post more helpful resources, videos, blogs, you know, things that things that people can refer to and just get some support and value out of, whether or not they seek, you know, help from me or my practice, but just somewhere they can get some research-based information on that's fact-checked and not, you know, just something I made up. So unbiased, hopefully a good couple resources that people can use too if they're having some troubles. So we'll see. Hopefully my next book will be addressing.
Yeah, the other issue where you don't want to touch on, because you want to give it away, because you said there was nothing. You said it was the niche didn't have anything out there for it. So you don't have to bring that up. Ray and I know, and it sounds like a brilliant idea. I think it's going to help a lot of individuals like ourselves.
Thank you.
And in the long run, basically, it's going to help us in the long run. And I don't want to give anything out more than what you've already given us. So yeah,
I don't know if it'll come to fruition, but hopefully something. But it'll be in the mental health realm because that's where I specialize.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it'll come from fruition. I think it's definitely a target audience is in need, and it's missing. It's something that's missing in that target audience in that community.
Yeah. When you mentioned it earlier, I felt like, I definitely need that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially. Yeah. What you said? I'm sorry.
I just said it.
No. What did Pooja say?
Oh, so I was just saying, no, that's amazing to hear actually. And also, you know, I feel like I'm learning a lot through that process as well. So I want to like also challenge and grow a little bit myself and be able to kind of stretch my knowledge and where I want to, you know, kind of learn and say, I don't know this, but let me figure it out and put it out there. Because if I don't know it, I can't find it online. Like there's a reason. It's not like we need to research this, you know?
That's interesting that you said that, because I think before the show, Reggie and I were talking about challenging yourself and talked about, you know, doing things that make you that are kind of uncomfortable. And for you to hear that for you to hear, for us to hear you say that out loud, you know, it kind of like, I was like, whoa, even you're doing that as well. You're challenging yourself, you know? So that's, it just validates what Reggie was talking about earlier, as far as, you know, as an individual, we all need to challenge ourselves and
absolutely.
And, to grow, to evolve.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, just to kind of circle back to our topic today, like sometimes relationships, you know, start with the best of intentions, but you can't say which direction one person will grow in 10 years.
Right? Exactly.
And where you're going to evolve. So that's important too. I mean, if you're not growing, I believe if you're not growing, you're not living.
So absolutely. True. And I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I want to say I was a great supportive spouse today, because I went with my missus to go get her vaccine shot, even though I'm not like 100% with it, but I supported her.
So that's, no, I'm glad you did.
Hold on. There's something missing. Okay, cool. That's just got a little quiet. Oh, it's kind of awkward, kind of quiet there. Thank you guys.
Please, should we clap for Reggie real quick to give him like a
I don't need you guys. Save your crap. I don't need that, guys. I got my own peeps. What do you got, you guys? Well, thank you. Thank you. I do what I do when I can do what I can. Guy. It's just, I just had to be there for her. She needed me. And, yeah, I got you, Raymond. I got Raymond too. Raymond. Yeah. I mean, we were there for you in your awkward moments and stuff today. So we had you.
Seriously?
So we had you, Raymond. Go get that therapy, Ray. We got you. We're there for you. Hey, Pooja, thank you so much again for your your vault of knowledge and your vault of time. But thank you for giving us the woman, not only the woman perspective, but giving us a professional perspective on things. Like I said, Ray and I are just two guys that try to think we know some things, but we admit when it's out of our pay grade.
Well, you know, I tell you this, Pooja, real quick, that before you respond to what Reggie just said, when we knew when we first met you, just talking to you, and we knew you were special, and and as we've had all these sessions that we had, all these interactions with you, our relationship grows, because we're getting kind of like, we're like friends, but at professional friends.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how we've all kind of clicked, and we thank you for everything you've given us, and it's been wonderful, and we appreciate you so much.
Yes, thank you, Pooja. Thank you for giving me Ray, because Ray, he came on the show and he was a cyborg, and now he's a human. And I appreciate you making this man more human each and every day. Every time you come on, he's less cyborg. I don't feel like I'm with Kawhi Leonard right now. I feel like I'm with a human being, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Pooja. You open Ray up.
Oh my gosh,
you've opened him up. No, seriously, thank you.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing to hear. It feels so great to hear that. And I want to thank you guys for, you know, just being so warm and open and welcoming and so easy to talk to and vulnerable and authentic. So I think you guys, props for that.
We try.
No, you're doing just fine. And I think what you're doing is really good. And I hope that this reaches a lot of other people that need to just hear some of these things, because we're not all alone in this. We're all here together. You know, we're all drops in the same sea. So
that's another quote from where?
For me.
From that bathroom. You make that up for real? Because I just did,
but I'm sure, you know.
I left it in a bathroom stall somewhere in New Jersey.
Look it up.
I left it somewhere in a bathroom stall in New Jersey somewhere.
Are you saying you and Pooja were in the same stall?
No, I'm saying I left it in 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
No, her husband went and saw it and was like, oh, babe, I just saw this drop in the sea. Yeah, that's me.
Because Jersey's in Florida now, right?
No, I mean, 10 years, 20 years ago, whenever I visit Jersey, I just, it was an Italian restaurant, on the east, on Jersey Shore, the Italian restaurant, on Jersey Shore.
That show.
So that's why I was just anyway, I got a quote too. I got one too. It's like when the clouds just dropped those those water drops into the sea and it comes on shore. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
What in the world is he talking about?
It's that deep, bro. You're not even ready for it. It's deep. You guys, you got to analyze it.
A little time dissecting
that. Yeah, you got to analyze it. They're going to actually create, you know, they're going to create a college course on my quotes, you know, the things that come, my philosophy and stuff is going to come up one day. It's just like they got Tupac. They got like a college course on his lyrics. Just remember the clouds, you know, the teardrops and the clouds come in the water, rush up to the sea. So are the pains in the days of our lives. Okay. Oh, shit. Oh, gosh. He knows about the soap. Yeah. Okay. That's too far. On that note, darn it. But no, seriously, thank you for your time, Pooja. It's been amazing as always.
I agree so much. Yeah.
You so much, guys. I wish you like the best. I know, Ray, you're going through it right now. So I wish you the best. And thank you for having me.
And you as well with your situation.
Your situation. Prayers going out to your loved one.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And hopeful.
That's all you can be. Prayerful.
Thank you. And I guess I'll leave you with the quote that I think we started with, and I don't remember where I've heard this or read this, but if you don't heal what cut you, you will bleed all over someone who didn't hurt you. So
that's me again. And we'll be hopeful but prayerful. That's another one right there. You can have that one. Mic drop.
Just like that.
All right. Well, have a great evening, Pooja.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you,
Pooja. Bye.
Raven. Bye. Raven's so quick with his bye. Bye. Have you ever heard the most abrupt goodbye ever? Bye. Every time I talk to Ray on the phone, he's like, bye. I feel like I hurt him. Like, what happened? Like, what did I do?
Like goodbyes. I mean, to think about.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Bye.
People don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't think he likes talking. Bye. It's just weird. It's just, you got the James Brown goodbye. Bye. I feel good. Bye. It's just very strange. Oh, it's very detached. It's very detached. But yes. Goodbye, Pooja. Have a great evening.
Give me a better goodbye, Reggie. How should I say it?
No, let me just take away the percussion behind it. So because it's like, bam.
It should be two syllables instead of one.
No, just if you say, just make it soft, like bye. Goodbye or bye.
You want me to say goodbye, Reggie?
Not me, Pooja, bro. That's kind of weird. Very strange. Don't ever work on goodbyes with like a man.
Okay, that's
with me.
That was very
suspect. Very sensual. Suspect. You say we have two S words. You say sensual, I say suspect. Can you
perception?
Yeah, perception.
Okay, how about this?
I'm here, I'm looking in the dude's eyes.
Is this better right here? Until next time, Pooja.
That's better. That is better. Oh my God. Pooja.
I like that.
God. What you've done with this cyborg is amazing. Oh my gosh. Upgrade him.
I'm like a mold right now. You just mold him in.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just downloaded some like wisdom through all this. Huh?
This is going to be your greatest progression. Your greatest subject is right here, Ray. That's your greatest.
I don't think I can take credit for that.
No, you have to take credit. Like I said, from cyborg to man, like from boys to man, but he's cyborg. Man, thank you, Pooja.
That's so awesome, but I love it. You guys are, you know, committed to self growth, and that is no easy feat. So, as you were,
go ahead. I'll let Ray end it because Ray's working on his goodbyes. Go ahead, Ray. I'll let you end it.
Until next time, Pooja.
Oh,
thank you.
There we go. I like that
one. I wish you guys all the best, and yeah. Until we meet again. Bye, everybody. Be well.
You too, Pooja.
All right, good night.
Thank you.
You guys heard the lady. She said, you don't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. Bye, Pooja.
Bye-bye.